All right, now it is my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker, so please offer a warm Valley Group welcome to Fred. Take him away.
Well, thank you, Mike. My name's Fred, and I'm an alcoholic. And only by the grace of God and the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous am I here. And only by the grace of God am I here sober. It's a, kind of a nice deal to celebrate a birthday, 23 years of sobriety. If you'd have told me 23 years, 2 weeks ago, that I'd be standing someplace in Visalia talking, I'd have told you you were crazy and a hoot owl because I was drunk. And I was going to stay drunk for another couple of weeks until until the doctor said, okay, now you're okay. I don't have to give you any more of these treatments to keep you alive. You won't go into convulsions. He gave me two in about 3 days. And I went to a rehab place that, they couldn't believe that I showed up sober. I walked into a rehab place and they told me I never had to drink again if I didn't want to. And I said, well, you know, I brought this money order with me that you told me you wouldn't let me in here without it. And so I think that I'm wanting not to drink. If you'll let me here and, you know, if you'll kind of help me, maybe I'll never will again. I found out that how nutty I was. I found out that, I also found out that, I was like other people like me who had a disease, and I didn't know I had a disease. I thought I was just nuts. I thought I was just a drunk, and I was going to be a drunk unless this program worked. I had 8 years previous to that started drinking after I'd done 8 years of sobriety through an aversion treatment. And I got to go to Duffy's Tavern and drink until I threw up all I could throw up, and then I got to do it more. And for 8 years, by God, it worked. I was the most miserable guy, and then I, got thirsty, and then I started drinking again, and everything went further downhill than I'd ever dreamed that I would go. I couldn't, I, like so many of us, I was, shaken. I couldn't write my name. I couldn't, I was a mess. I didn't like me. I didn't like you. I didn't, there was very little. And then I found out when I came to AA that, they told me they told me the things that maybe I should do if I never wanted to drink again. And they said, if you don't have this desire not to drink, why don't you go out and drink again? And not waste our time. And I said, wait a minute. I was the guy that showed up with this check. And I don't want to. I don't really don't want to drink. And then I went through the rehab and they, talked about the disease that I have. And they also talked about, if I went through the first 5 steps while I was in rehab, halfway. I didn't know what I was doing. I was in a fog, and this is the first time I'd been sober in 8 years, and really I didn't know what I was doing in the 8 years that I was sober before. And I got to find out when I got out that I needed a sponsor. I found out that I knew what the big book was because I'd read it a couple times in in the rehab, but I didn't know anything about AA. You know, I came to AA. I came out of a liquor store with a half gallon of vodka and put it behind the seat of my truck, and there was five, six, seven, eight other half gallons that were full. And that's the time I said, "Oh my God, you know, what is wrong with you? You know, you need to get help." And that's when I reached out to a cousin of mine, and we talked, and I told her that if we could find a rehab place that would, I tried everything except AA. And I doubt that AA had worked for me. However, my sister had got sober in AA and died sober, and my brother had tried it and didn't work for him, and I knew a lot of people that it didn't work for, but I knew that if this program did not work, then I was a dead duck. To this day, I am amazed that people reached out and helped me until the fog started lifting. My first sponsor was Chuck was a tough hombre. He told me I had to, he's the first guy that gave me a $20 bill and said, if I want you to keep it until you're not gonna, if you feel like going drinking, I want you to use this 20. And why would a guy give me that and tempt me? I learned from him that if I wasn't ready, and if I wouldn't go to any length like he told me, then he didn't want to mess with me. And I became a terrible sponsor because I followed what Chuck explained to me. Tonight I got a phone call from a guy that I used to sponsor. Hey, he was a little gooned up, but I was right before I came in here. And I asked Don if he had spent that $50 that I gave him about 6 months ago already. And he said, "Freddie," he says, "we got to go back to 20. And I said, "No, with you, it's 50. I don't know that he said he's going to see me this weekend. Said, is he? I don't know. I know this, that he's still out there drinking, and I'll take a 50 with me. Because if he's not ready, I know what it's like to not be ready. I want him to have I don't want him to experiment. I don't want him to, kill himself. But I want him to, get down to where I was when I got here. Because I think that you gotta, I had to be at the end of my rope. If you'd have told me at that time that anything would be like it is today, I'd have never dreamed it. I'd have never dreamed that things would be, I'd have so much fun. I just have a ball. I get to have more fun today than I ever dreamed of having 20 years ago when I first got here. I used to sit in a bar and tell you about things that I was going to do. And, was I shooting my face off. I had no more. I was just lying. There was no way that I was going to do any of that stuff that I could talk big about. For one thing, I didn't know how to do it. For being a drunk of my type, and I am a practicing alcoholic, I'm in recovery, and I am going to stay here, I hope, until I die. I was in a meeting today, and there was 10 of us there, three newcomers, and at the end of the table was two guys and a lady. And those three people had 117 years of sobriety amongst them. Now, one of them had 57 years of sobriety. When I see something like that, when I see any type of sobriety, I am just amazed. I know that God put His hand on the shoulders, and I know that the person that's sober, you know, did something right. He had a sponsor like I did that told me I had to get up in the morning and make my bed. I had to get on my knees and pray, and I said, "Well, I think I can make my bed. I don't know anything about praying. You know, all I want to do is not drink." Well, I found out there was a lot more to AA than just not drinking. I found out that if I listened, the big book, if I didn't understand it, if I looked up things in the dictionary, if I asked questions, I found out that my life was changing. I found out that things were slowly but surely the fog was lifting for Fred. Slowly but surely I learned that, you know, I could kind of half-ass smile. I could see twinkles in people's eyes that I hadn't seen in a long time. I still don't understand it all. I go to meetings now to see those twinkles, to see those smiles, to see that, what God has given to me this day is unbelievable to me. For people to, I had three ladies up here, and they all hugged me. And they acted like, that they really kind of, they acted like they were kind of glad to see me. And I know they were, and I was really glad to see them. And I got, when I came in here, Jody was just, her and I have the same sobriety date. And to be able to just celebrate doing something right for once in my life is just a wonderful thing. It is just something that, and I, anybody, and I, if I'm right, there was three or five, newcomers, well, they had less than 30 days. My program is I need you folks to come to this thing. I need you to come and keep coming. I need you to get sober. I need you to be participants in the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. I need you to start doing what these ladies are doing, for God's sakes, don't, I wouldn't wish, you having to talk like I am tonight on anybody except me, I guess. But to give to this program, and I say that, I come from a family of six kids, and, like I said before, my sister is, she died in Alcoholics Anonymous. My brother was killed in a car wreck drunk because he had tried AA and it didn't work for him. He had tried the aversion treatment. I had two other brothers that tried the aversion treatment. Most of us were, some of us, one brother was kind of a functioning drunk. But the rest of us were drunks. And for me now to be sober for 23 years, I've got a son who is sober for 25. And I can remember when he came and saw me, it was Christmas time, And, I had a family deal, and I asked him to, take me for a ride. And the selfishness that I put him through on that ride, he had been sober for, I don't know, maybe, I can't remember. He had been sober and I was drunk. And I look back on that, and I, it's enough to make me wonder, boy, that string in my head was going nuts, Why would I do that to my own son? Because I didn't care about anybody except me is really what it came down to. I found that out in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I talked to the newcomers here, and I've got 9 grandkids. I've got the ones that I'll talk to is the ones that live here in Visalia, and there's a girl that's 12 and a girl that's 10 and a boy that's 7. My son is in the program, been here for 25 years. His sister is, after I was 6 months sober, maybe, I went and got her son from her because she was a real good drug addict and she couldn't take care of her own son, and made arrangements for Daniel to be taken care of until I made a deal with Jamie that she, she stayed clean for a year, she'd get her son back. And that happened. Well, my kids didn't fall far from the tree. They had an old man that was nuts, and a bunch of uncles that were, just as good as he was, and an aunt that was, So I know that the genes are, my grandkids have got the wonderful genes of a drunk. And I need the newcomers, and I need the people that are coming after me, and to make sure that this program is alive and well when those little kids get up to the age where, hopefully they don't become alcoholics. I tell you, I think that the chances are about 80% that they will. They've got a lot of things working against them. My dad was Irish, but I won't blame that on them. His dad, I had no idea about him, but his brother and his sister were both pretty good drinkers. My family, my kids all were, my mom and dad, and I never saw my mom drink or smoke. She was a saint. How in the heck did she end up with 6 kids like us? Amazing. So I want you newcomers to keep coming. I want you to, the people that stood up to be sponsors, grab them. This experiment that you're going through, whether the judge sent you here or whether you're here on your own, this experiment with AA is a wonderful thing. It is, and that's what it was to me. If this didn't work, I didn't know if it would work or not. And I knew that I knew if it didn't, I was a dead duck, and I welcomed that. Did I, I don't know. Holy God. Seems like I've been talking for an hour. Let me look at my notes. Okay. I've got to tell you, after I was sober about, I want to talk about the miracles of Alcoholics Anonymous and how wonderful things are to me. I had, unbeknown to my children who I raised, but years ago, I got a letter from a gal who said that she didn't know if she should be writing this letter or not, but there was a she thought maybe there was a chance that I was her dad. And I saw Diane when she was born, and I saw her when she was about, oh, 4 or 5 or so, and her mother and I were never married. We were, I don't know what was wrong with a lady who would want to have another kid by me, but she decided she wanted to have a child, and she did, and it was Diana. And I got this letter that said that maybe I'm your daughter, you know, if you'd like to, if you'd like to get a hold of me, her number was on the letter, and you know, and I knew that she was. I didn't know where she was, but I knew that I knew about her because I was there when she was born and saw her when she. And I got sober, and part of my amends was to find, you know, straighten out. I didn't try a whole bunch. I didn't hire detectives to go out and find the family. They had lived next to friends of mine, and you know, those, my first grade teacher, in fact. And I went to Shirley and asked him if, you know, what happened to him, and she didn't have any idea. They'd lost track of everybody. And so I get this letter, and I phoned Diane that day, and I, I'm not telling you this story to think that I did anything right. I don't know that I did anything right. I know that my kids never knew about it. You know, the kids that I raised, Jamie and Ed, they didn't know anything about it. And anyway, I told her, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad, and it kind of, and she came down, and we met for the first time, and that was in 2004, and I'm not sure that I really appreciate all this, you know, father-daughter stuff that I'm getting from Diana, like, but I know I do. Yeah, it's kind of nice to have a daughter that you don't know, that is, you know, all of a sudden 13 years ago, and she's, you know, getting pretty close to 50. The things that this program has given me is reflected on her. Ed says, boy, I get tired of her. You know, he says, when she calls you dad, he says, I don't understand how do I handle that? He says, I'm not used to somebody that I don't know calling you dad. And I've asked Diane about it, and she says, you know, she says, you've been nice. You know, you've been nicer than I dreamed of. And she says, you don't know how much it means to me to have a dad. Yeah, and that is a miracle of this program. You know, I still don't. Yeah, she's a drug addict at one time. She has got 17 years of sobriety. She is a drug and alcohol counselor in San Diego with McAllister Foundation down there. And, you know, she's a wonderful gal. I'm going to see her Saturday. She's going to come down to Brawley and the roundup. And, you know, these are part of the miracles that I have seen. Now, one of the miracles that I get to go through, and I has been my participation in hospitals and institutions. I know that you had a speaker a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to tell you, Brian was a guy who had 17 to life for murder and got through AA, got paroled, and you heard him talk about how much AA helped him and how going into the prisons, how much he appreciated those people that are going into prisons. And if you've never done it, I'm going to give you some testimony tonight about it. You don't know, and I never did either. I got about 5, 6, 7 years in sobriety, and what was I doing? I had gone through a coffee maker. I'd gone through the at that time I was smoking, so you'd clean up the ashtrays, clean up the vacuum the place. Became secretary. They asked me to be a secretary of a Friday night meeting, and nobody showed up to that Friday night meeting. Very few people showed up to that Friday night meeting for about a year and a half. But I got to sit there and read all these books. I got to find out what AA kind of, it really helped me. And it doesn't seem like much, but, after wondering what this AA was all about, my life was cleaning up and I was getting pretty good. I started having friends are coming back. Guys that I went to school with and college were starting to like me. What the hell was wrong with them? And it was all because Fred wasn't screwed up all the time. And I knew things were changing because my life was changing. I was doing things that, I was doing things I used to talk about doing. I was at a roundup, and H and I had a booth there. And I talked to a guy named Paul Pulaski, who's dead now. And Paul was head of H&I in San Diego Imperial. And Paul pulled me aside and told me that he was going into the Calipat prison. If you haven't figured it out by now, I'm not from here. I'm from Imperial Valley, which is way down south. And big meeting down there, 6. Paul pulled me aside and told me about going into prison, told me how much he got out of it. And so I signed the clearance forms and filled them out. I found out that they let a guy go into that prison with 11 drunk drivers who had never, thank God, I don't know how. I'd never killed anybody. I'd never, I'd had lots of wrecks. I got to go into that prison, and I can remember walking in, holy God, and the doors clanged behind me, and they were pretty final. I was like going to jail, and I had been going to jail a number of times, and I'd spent a couple 30 day wonders there, and I got to go into that prison and sit into a meeting, and I didn't know what was going on. And those guys would say, Fred, would you like to say anything? And I said, what do you want to hear from me for? Well, they said, we want to hear somebody from the outside tell us, what in the world's it like? Are you really sober? Are you really being honest with us? Or are you telling us a big fib and, just coming in here and making yourself feel good? And I said, I think that the only reason I'm going to feel good is I get out of here tonight. And that's when I first started, that's what, by God, if I don't screw up, they'll let me out. And I got to start telling them about, how they couldn't believe it. I had 11 drunk drive-ins, and they let me in. Some of those guys had 4, and they were in there. Most of the places I went to, Calipat prison, it's a level 4 prison, and those guys were. Brian talked about 17 to life, and most of those guys are 25 to life. Most of those guys are. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of guys that I got a. Yeah. I got a letter today from one of the guys, Mouse, who was still in there, and he couldn't, well, all the time that I was going into CalPAT, he would go in and out. And he got a letter, and I got a letter from him a couple of weeks ago, and he wanted help. You know, wanted to do the steps, wanted to do them. And I wrote him back, and of course I'd help him in any way I could. And he told me, he says, there's only two guys in the third Tuesday night meeting on the D yard who are still there that when I was going into D yard, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe a year and a half ago was the last time I went in. And, you know, how things had changed and how, you know, I'd sent him an address on some guys. And I want to tell you about some other Brian's. And I know that when I, you know, when Paul told me about going into the Caliphate prison, I had my doubts, but he also told me about if I wanted to experiment with writing letters to prisoners, that the H&I table at General Services had, I could fill out a letter and they would assign prisoners to write me and to write back, so they'd have a pen pal. And that's how I started. And I don't know, you know, everybody's so busy, you know, we're all so busy. And I found out that it took me about 2 minutes to write a letter to those guys. You know, it didn't take much. And I found out that I could probably, at one time I was writing to 4 guys. You know, what happened to them? They quit writing. I'd write them another letter. You know, I haven't heard from you. So what? You know, I'm not doing it anymore. I've only been here. I've been to Visalia for maybe a year now. And I'm getting my feet wet on, you know, living in a different place. I want you to think very seriously about helping and being a part of H&I. I know that Mike and I went in, and I know there's a bunch of you that are sitting here that go in, and we're going to make Kirk go in one of these times. I wanted to bring this up, and I'm going to quit. But I've got 3 guys that have 25 years of life. One had 30 to life. One was, Frankie was a Mexican that got picked up. You know, he's got no papers, and he got out of, Donovan prison in San Diego about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago. And of course they deported him right away, and he's living in San Luis, Mexico, which is down south of Yuma. And I bring this up because Robert, who is 25 years of life, is, you know, he wrote a book. He and I were in H&I conference, Southern California conference, on a panel together about 3 years ago. Here's a guy who killed a guy, 25 to life, got out at 25 because he had had 9 years of sobriety, 8 years of sobriety. Yeah, except for all the tattoos he had on him, he's just the nicest guy in the world. He said, "Freddie, are you going to go to the? Are you going to come to the Imperial Valley roundup?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "Well, can you get me a room? Can you get me?" He's coming down on Friday night. He and another guy are coming to the roundup down there. I'm going to get to see Robert. He wrote a book. Anybody that likes to, you know, really read and doesn't care, it's not a very good book. But you know something? I've never written a book. I have never even thought of writing. I've thought about it. You know, I was drunk. Boy, wouldn't somebody like to read this story? Yeah. This guy has written a book. And it's all about how blessed he is because of Alcoholics Anonymous and how he's met God and stuff. And yeah, it's not a very good book. But you know something? He's only because of Alcoholics Anonymous, only because he said the people that went into H&I, not just me, but there's a whole bunch of people that go in down there from San Diego, and like there's a whole bunch of people that go into Corcoran here. Only because of that is his life changed. Jason is another one, 30 to life. Got out, he's living in Texas now. I hear from him. He's working with wayward kids. That's part of his sobriety deal. Little Frankie, I don't know what the hell he's doing, but he's down in Mexico and he's still sober. He's telling me about the Mexican meetings he's going to. He told me if I wanted to come down, that there is this English-speaking meeting in San Luis. Yeah, here in a month or two, I've got some time. I've gone to AA meetings with these guys on the outside, and you think that the miracles don't happen. They happen, and a big part of my sobriety is, man, I get to go see those miracles. I get to, just like coming to an AA meeting, just like being today at the noon meeting or here. I can't believe I'm talking like that. I've read the promises. I read the incomprehensible demoralization was when I thought that maybe you folks knew something that you're talking about. I didn't. I still don't. Yeah, but that incomprehensible demoralization, I knew all about it. My wives had left me. Girlfriends had left me. Don't even answer the door. Your clothes are on the porch. Take them and get the hell out of here. Incomprehensible demoralization, I knew something about. And then I read in that the promises. And if I'm painstaking about this phase of my development, and I have not become fully developed yet, I know that. I know that when I'm talking, I'm not learning anything. It's when I'm listening to you drunks that I'm starting to learn something, that things start making sense to me. Keep coming back. This is the greatest thing in the world. Thank you.